So like I said, my name is Logan McCullough. For the last two semesters, it's been a joy to serve here as a pastoral intern. And I've been a member here for 3 years. This is the first time formally in front of you guys, so you guys have served me really well. You guys have been an instrumental part of my growth and my faith, and so I just want to say thank you. You guys have been such an encouragement to me. So with that said, enough about me. We have a glorious text to look at. If you would, please open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. If you don't have your Bible with you, the two verses should be on the back of your handout. So as you're turning, let me kind of give a bit of a 50,000-foot view of the book of Daniel. So the book of Daniel is, in nature, a political book. We have kings and nations at every turn being reminded that while they might have rule over their lands and their people, God has ultimate dominion over them. So as we drop into chapter 7, we see a vision from Daniel, who is seeing the one who rules and has dominion over all things. So verses 13 to 14 says this. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and a glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. So in this text, we see Daniel is seeing the coming of the long and awaited Messiah. While kings and nations might have dominion over their peoples and their lands, we see the one who is like a son of man is given ultimate dominion over all peoples, nations, and languages by the Ancient of Days, who is the Father. The Son of Man in this passage is pointing to Jesus. If the language of Son of Man sounds familiar, it's because we also see that language being used in Acts 7:56 from our sermon text this morning. Stephen says in verse 56, right before his death, he says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." Stephen is pointing us back to Daniel 7. Christ is the one who was killed like the rest of the prophets, overcame death and now stands at the right hand of the Father. And this Jesus is the one who has been given an everlasting dominion. As Daniel had seen visions of beasts who were having dominion over the earth, and then he sees the Son of Man who has dominion over all. And so does Stephen, in the midst of persecution, sees that Christ is standing at the right hand of the Father. So Stephen and Daniel know that their ultimate allegiance and service belongs to the one who has dominion over all. So if you're here this evening and you don't hold yourself to be a Christian, like, who or where does your allegiance and service belong to? So as Christians, we believe that Jesus came to earth and he lived a perfect and sinless life. He died upon a cross and took the full wrath of God on our behalf. And in 3 days later, he defeated death, he rose from the grave, and now stands at the right hand of the Father, as Stephen sees, so that if anyone would repent and turn from their sin and trust in this Jesus, they would have everlasting life with him. Who could possibly be more deserving of our allegiance and service than the one who has dominion over all things, including the soul that you and I possess? If you would like to know more what it means to be Christian, please come find me, find the one who brought you, or find a church member here in the same aisle as you. They would love to share more about what it means to be a Christian. So as we look at the text, I think the main point I would like to draw out is this. Christ has everlasting dominion. Christ has everlasting dominion. So for the next few moments, let's consider what it might mean for us as Christians and as members of UBC, what it means for us that Christ has everlasting dominion. So I don't think it's any secret that today we live in a polarizing political environment. So while it is good for us as Christians to be involved in the public square, the one thing we cannot do is divide the body of Christ among party lines. We all know that phrase, that across the aisle, which means Republicans sit here, Democrats sit over here. Across the aisle, that phrase is demonstrating a dividing line. But the gospel of Jesus Christ ought to destroy such dividing lines. When is the last time you have talked to someone who thinks differently than you? How has your evangelism been affected because you simply don't want to share the gospel with someone because they don't share the same political views as you? The dominion and reign of Christ destroys these dividing lines. Let Christ's everlasting dominion compel you to encourage and to do spiritual good to those who think differently than you. So as we see in verse 14, Christ has dominion over all peoples, nations, and languages. So what does this mean for us about as we think about missions? So in Matthew 28, Jesus commands us to make disciples of all nations. Have you considered giving your life to planting churches among unreached people groups? Have you prayed about the possibility of giving your life to the spread of the gospel for those who have never heard? As members of UBC, how well do we know our supported workers? In our member directory, we have a page dedicated to our supported workers. So as a church, as we want to financially support them, more so, we should want to partner with them in constant prayer for the ministry that the Lord has given them. So friends, use the directory that we have. Make it a habit in your prayer life to pray for our supported workers. So serving the one who has everlasting dominion, King Jesus, means serving the one institution Christ left behind, the local church. So how are you as a member meeting the needs of our body? We do not show Christ's love to one another by consuming, but by serving. So if you're a member of this church and you don't serve in any particular way, or are able to serve more than you are, let me point you, as we have previously, point you in the direction of our children's ministry. Although they already kind of made my point. The parents of children of this church should not be the only ones feeling the burden to raise up their kids in a way that honors and glorifies Christ. So we, as members of UBC, should too feel that burden to help raise up children within our body to know Christ. A great way to do this is serving in our children's ministry. So I would encourage you, if that's something you should do, go find Ryan Trogland after this. He mentioned that there's a meeting next Sunday. I encourage you to go do that. Go find Ryan after this. So a couple weeks ago, I had the pleasure of sharing a little bit in the Suffering ABF with John. And I was able to speak some of the hardships and depression that I've faced in the last year, in particular with the loss of my mom. And as a result of that, I've had some pretty awesome conversations with people who were either in the class or heard about it, and how they've experienced similar depression and hardships. So for those who might be going through depression and hardships in life, have you stopped to consider what Christ's everlasting dominion means for you? Christ lived and experienced this depression and despair in life. He died a horrific death. But this Jesus overcame even death, and this Jesus stands at the right hand of the Father in complete control and dominion over all things. Friends, turn your eyes to the one who has saved your soul. We are so often consumed by things that bring us sorrow, whether that be a death of a loved one, the loss of possessions, hardship in relationships, finances, the difficulties of parenting, or depression with no apparent reason and the confusion that might bring. Friend, turn your eyes away from those things, and turn it to Christ. I heard a pastor once say, Authentic faith is not merely believing in God. It is believing God. It is taking God at his word, that his speaking is his doing. It is an abiding assurance in God and his promises. Friends, there's nothing more that we could do that would enhance our faith than to immerse ourselves in the faith-arousing word of God. Let Scripture show you how big your God is. Let Scripture show you how faithful your God is. Let God's word bring a joy that sustains your soul. And as you do this, friends, you will have a front row seat to watch the one who began a good work in you and watch him bring it to completion. So, member of UBC, this Jesus who died on our behalf, who was raised from the dead and now stands at the right hand of the Father, has complete dominion over all things. The one we turn to, the one we repent to, the one we trust and pledge our allegiance to. This Son of Man, this Jesus, has everlasting dominion. So while we live in a crazy and chaotic world where nothing seems to be certain, let us be reminded that one thing is absolutely certain, and that is that Christ has everlasting dominion. Nothing is outside of his control. So brothers and sisters, press on in the faith. We are a part of a kingdom that shall not be destroyed, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against Christ's church. Let us pray. Father, we praise you that you have allowed us to serve a risen King who has everlasting dominion over all things. Father, we pray that we as a body of Christ here at UBC would do ministry with full confidence because your everlasting dominion means that your kingdom is one that shall not be destroyed. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.